Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Hey, we're back. I'm going to say a word right now, and I want you to think what comes to mind when I say this word. The word is karma. Yeah, karma. Some get a negative feeling from it. Some get a positive feeling from it. There's all different aspects of karma, and we're going to dig into that with an ancient wisdom energy healer. She's a transitions coach, a ceremonialist, and does so much more to help people out. She's also the woman behind Dragonfly Passages. Andrea Dragonfly joins us. Hi, Andrea. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Let's break that down when we talk about karma, because I already have my thought on it. Why don't we start? What is karma? How would you define it?
Absolutely. And, you know, karma is such an interesting concept, and we definitely most often connect into the Eastern philosophies. And when we think of karma, we think, oh, this is coming from Eastern philosophies. But karma also has been known in many ancient traditions around the planet. And so each different wisdom tradition is going to have a slightly different take on what karma really is. However, they're all connected. And so I'm going to just kind of give a generalized idea, because where they're all connected is that karma really comes down to, it's a process that we carry with us through reincarnation or through different lifetimes. And so this, you know, for people who are new to the idea of reincarnation and carrying our energy and our energy fields with us. We're going to be talking about personal karma and ancestral karma. So this is what we do in one life. It's kind of like what we reap in one life is what we, it's what we sow in one life is what we reap in the next. So what we're doing in this lifetime is going to actually play out either within our lives as we continue to live it, but it also may play out for us in a future lifetime, which we call incarnations. And so the only wisdom traditions or the only belief systems that don't really believe in reincarnation are going to be the Abrahamic traditions, which are the most dominant belief systems on the planet. And those are our religions of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And so they don't necessarily believe, they believe in the heaven afterlife. Yet at the same time, for the beginning of time, many of the earth-centered and many of these other wisdom traditions from around the world have had this connection that we are these energy beings that have an opportunity to come and really live out the human experience. That it's not just one time that we get a chance at life. So if we had a pretty difficult, you know, like not such a fair chance at life, if we think about the children that don't live very long and then they pass through, and of course that is absolutely devastating for us to experience, but it's also part of our experience, is to experience the depth of humanity. And when we have these very intense experiences like loss of family, loss of children, loss of, or even getting our own cancer diagnoses or some sort of ailment early on in our lives and losing that, you know, through our teens and through, throughout. This is the concept that we are here to experience really kind of all aspects. And sometimes we come into a life to have a little more suffering or a great amount of suffering. And sometimes we come into our life to have, a lot more joy and richness and harmony and love. And most of us come in with a fair amount of all of it, right? So we're not on the extremes. We're kind of more in the middle. But to have life, you know, to be a human, we're going to go through, you know, the highs and the lows. And so karma plays out in these highs and lows. And again, karma also can come down to, the definition would be, is action. It's about cause and effect. What we do in our lives will create an effect of how we're going to live it out in a later, time. So, you know, even when we're young and foolish and we do certain things, you know, and we're testing the limits of society, you know, maybe, you know, there's, you know, pushing the limits, breaking rules or whatnot. You know, many children experience the opportunity of stealing things when they're younger, and then they come into their adult life and they work hard for those types of things, and then they find that those things get stolen from them. Or so, like, sometimes, you know, the cause and effect, it doesn't always have to be about that. It could, but it's also about materialism, right? So if a person's really focused on materialism, you know, when they're young, and then they invest in something that's really wonderful, they may find that they're going to have an experience of loss around that. Maybe a wonderful car that they had worked really hard to get, and then that car got into, you know, an accident, and, or maybe it was stolen, or you know, or sometimes even we have, you know, our homes would get broken into and material objects taken. And so that can also look at, to be a very certain type of karma that we carry. And, you know, there's karma is such a deep and wide conversation. Mm. And I'm just scratching the surfaces on that, because that is really basic things. So it's really about who we're being in this life will also really just kind of shine for what's to come for us. If we're a person that's in service and really dedicating our lives to help and do good for others, we're collecting something called good karma. You know, we're doing all of the things that we feel are on a higher level vibration. And when I say vibration, I'm going to get a little bit further into that when I talk about ancestral karma, because the vibration is the energy that we're emitting out, and like energy attracts like energy. I've been saying this probably since our very first time that we've been talking together. And so when we really are working on that higher vibration, we're attracting that higher vibration in. We're also clearing out those old karmic debts. But if we're doing things that are selfishly, and we're trying to, you know, and we're wanting it more for our own personal power, we're wanting it own, you know, for control, then we're going to collect something that would be considered to be more of a bad karma. And, of course, these are judgments, good and bad. But, again, like energy attracts like energy. Mm. So if we're doing things to kind of put one against someone, or cheating somebody out of something, or coming from a, you know, a position of oppressing or stepping on the backs of others, you know, for our own benefit, then we're going to reap that also in our lives. And if we don't reap it within the current lifetime, we will have a, you know, we'll definitely have an opportunity to live that out in the next lifetime. And so these are things that we can see as personal karmas. So we can also look at, you know, our, who are we being in our everyday? How am I treating other people? Because even the way we treat other people is what we're going to get back.
Are you a firm believer in that? And I wanted to ask that question, and you just brought it up, Andrea, that if we do things that aren't really the best around other people, or we're just not a good person, do you believe it comes back? And how long does it take to come back?
Well, that's a great question. And I can't say I have any idea how long it takes to come back. Sometimes people are like, oh, I wish that karma will come back and get that person quickly, right?
Yeah. Of course.
And sometimes it feels like that person can skirt through life and never actually pay out some of the, you know, the harshness that they've done against others. But it doesn't mean that they're not eventually going to experience it for themselves. And so when we start to look at karma, there's usually how we make other people feel eventually will be our turn to feel exactly what we've done to them. And so that could also be in another lifetime. Mm. So we think about the horrors of humanity and all of the things, all the different wars that have, you know, gone through, you know, history, and, you know, different parts of us have played, you know, throughout, if we've been incarnating into these different life beings, earth beings, we are still living out some of the pains that we've put on other people throughout life, you know, throughout previous histories. And so so it does come back to us. So when we do have a very painful life experience, it could very well be a karmic debt that we're paying out. It doesn't necessarily mean it's always a karmic debt, but it very well could be something that we had to experience that at that level because we had played a part in that in some way. And, you know, and one of the beautiful things, and I'll just kind of say this because this has come up in many different areas of with other healers, other energy workers, is that even when we start to look at, and I'm going to put out a concept, and it doesn't mean that it's absolutely right or wrong. I just want to introduce it as something to sit with. I'm, you know, everything I'm saying is just something that is an opportunity to sit with and resonate and start to ask yourself, how does this feel for me? Is this resonant? Is this not resonant? You know, and then also, what is it about it that, you know, we might need to dig a little deeper and find more information about? However, I had a friend who was doing a therapy session with a group. And in that therapy session, she had a person really kind of working out some ancestral trauma or some life trauma within the family. And this was through family constellations, which is a different type of healing modality, but beautiful one nonetheless. And what had happened is there was a person, a man, who had a sexual perpetrator in his life when he was young, and he was very distraught over it. And so in his healing process, he had somebody, a complete stranger, represent that perpetrator for him, that sexual predator. And in that process, the person, he's like, why? Why did this happen? Why me? Is what the individual had said. And then the complete stranger, who had no idea about this person's life or story, all of a sudden was moved to say, because in a past life, you had done this to me. And that was a powerful moment to say, huh, interesting. You know, and I learned this, you know, some time ago, and it really has brought up many different stories that are similar to this, is that when we've behaved in a certain way, it will follow us and we will be the recipient of our own doing in another way. So this is an opportunity for us to clear up our karma now. We can say, okay, what have I been doing? How can I address this so that I can make my next life as easy or as peaceful or as, you know, harmonious as possible, that I can reap the benefits of good karma instead of having to put myself through, you know, the pains that I've given to others. And of course, we can begin that process now. It doesn't mean we're going to be able to fulfill that process because, again, this is coming from a very, this is coming from energy. This is coming from light beings. This has come from God energy, the Christos energy as well. So we're working with, you know, these concepts of higher energies that we have to deeply understand what we've done, if we've done something that's been harmful to someone. And we need to know it on such a deep level that we get the learning from it. Again, we come into these human incarnations to learn from our experiences, to learn the human conditions of the extremes of suffering and joy and all the parts that play out in between. And so we have these different lives that bring us different things to understand these experiences. And so this is one concept of how we can see this. But again, it really comes down to cause and effect. It really comes down to karma is an action that follows out and, you know, plays out for us. And it can be in this life or it can be in another life. And we can look at our ancestral karma. So this is more of a personal karma. And last week, we started talking about the genetic codes and how not only do we get our DNA from our parents, our mother and father's lines, but we also get the ancestral karma that comes from them as well.
You know what, Andrea? I want to press the pause button for just a second. We have a question based on karma.
Yes.
We're going to take a very short break and then come right back and hopefully answer that question and talk about what I find fascinating, the ancestral karma that we or could be dealing with. Somebody wants to reach out to you to learn more and maybe become healed in a lot of ways. How do they do that, Andrea?
So right now I'm working on the website, and but I can be contacted at dragonflypassages@gmail.com, just easy enough, and just reach out with an email, and I'll be able to get back to you. We can also do a 30-minute consultation to see what's going on and see how I can best be of service.
Love it. Quick break, and coming right back with your questions. Hang on.
Celebrating Bubby's 70th birthday. 7 months after her birthday. Saying I don't to more postponements, and I do to each other. That life-changing vacation, just a little later in life, and the taste of some home cooking that's been simmering for months.
Sorry, I think this one's mine.
Oh, my bad.
For all the things that you've been looking forward to getting back to, we've got a plane for that. Visit JetBlue.com for everyday low fares.
This is a car. No matter how much you kiss your lucky frog, wish on a star, do that thing you gotta do to get it to start, your car will eventually break down. And those repairs could cost you thousands, but not if you have CarShield, like I do.
CarShield is America's number one auto protection company. Their administrators have paid out over $1 billion in claims and cover most vehicles from 5,000 to 150,000 miles.
I trust CarShield administrators to pay your claims just like they paid mine.
I know cars break down. I don't want to pay for expensive repairs. That's why I have CarShield.
Let's keep it real. No one wants to get stuck with unexpected car repairs. Have you looked at how expensive those can be? From the stress of the breakdown, getting towed, and then you're hit with the bill? It's basically a nightmare scenario, and nobody wants that.
With coverage through CarShield administrators, you'll receive 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental reimbursement at no additional charge. Plus, with CarShield's nationwide coverage network, you can choose the mechanic or dealership of your choice no matter where you are.
I've been a CarShield customer for close to 7 years, had three vehicles covered, and they saved me close to $9,000.
The best thing about CarShield is just about everyone can afford coverage with no long-term commitment. So there's no more excuses why you haven't picked up the phone and called. At the end of the day, when it comes to your car breaking down, CarShield has got your back like nobody else I know.
If you're driving without a warranty, you have to call CarShield.
Yeah, you do. I drive with CarShield because they're the real deal. Do yourself a favor and give them a call today. Tell them I sent you. And remember, CarShield cars go farther.
Protect yourself now against expensive auto repair bills. Call CarShield for a free and instant protection plan quote. Once your car breaks down, it's too late. Call 800-908-6126. 800-908-6126. 800-908-6126.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
And welcome back, everybody. We're talking about karma today. And so many things involved in that. We're going to talk about ancestral karma in just a second. Andrea Dragonfly is with us. She is with Dragonfly Passages, and she's an ancient wisdom energy healer, transitions coach, ceremonialist, and lots more. Lisa checks in from Staten Island on our instant feedback line, instantfeedbacksteve@gmail.com, and says, I believe in karma and heard you talk about how karma can come back around in another life. Any thoughts on how often karma comes back in another life as opposed to this one?
That's a great question, Lisa. So thank you. Yes. I can't see humanity without us just living out our karma. So karma is, in my opinion, and again, this is my opinion, and it doesn't, and there's others out there like me, so it's not just not just me, is that this is what we're doing. Every lifetime is us living out our karma. And again, it's good karma and bad karma. You know, what we reap is what we sow. And if we live a more selfless life of just being in love, you know, being in harmony, being in the flow, being a good person, being of service, being a contributor to society in a positive way, we're going to definitely reap a much, you know, easier life experience as we move through it. And so, but yes, I mean, the way that I experience it and the way that I have really come to know it is that we are just living our lives in a way that is an expression. And when I, especially when I get into ancestral karma, we can even see it a little bit more clearer because of the way that we've been brought up in our belief systems and the way that we are, you know, how our mindsets are developed. You know, if we feel that we are free, then we have the freedom to really be our best human being. But if we have a feeling that we are having or holding guilt or shame or something that is, you know, like some sort of I'm not good enough mentality or whatever, we're not living in our freedom. And so these pieces really are parts of our karma. And are they our personal karma or are they our ancestral karma? Because within the ancestral karma, we become programmed by the family in a certain way. I'm going to use the word program. It's, you know, how we're taught, right? You know, we, you know, since we're teeny tiny all the way up until the time we leave the house, and we all have these different lives with these different families, different socioeconomic brackets, different levels of resources, right? So we're taught based on our environment. What do we have? Did we come from a family of haves or did we come from a family of have not, right? And when we think about, and then also, what is the belief systems of that family? You know, the politics of that, the religion of that. And so if a child comes into the family and doesn't necessarily agree with that, then there can be feelings of, you know, not acceptance, of punishment. There can be feelings of fear or whatever, you know, and families are very much wanting their children to be a certain way, to continue the family line in this way. So when we get into ancestral karma and we get into the ancestral way, you know, we can look at back within our ancestral line through generations. And part of it is behaviors of, we want you to, you know, behave or act this way. And if not, maybe there's punishment or maybe there's guilt or maybe there's, you know, some sort of shaming. Like, we don't want you to bring shame to the family. So you have to do this. You have to carry forward these secrets. We don't want anybody to know about certain things. And so when we have that, we're really trapped into a certain level of energy. And so this is the karmic energy. And the thing is that this doesn't necessarily really, this isn't really true. This is just a family way, which doesn't necessarily mean that it is the true way. So we talk about belief systems. And so if this is the family's belief system, there are so many different belief systems. And so, you know, families can perpetuate a lack of communication. People want you to read their minds, but we don't have necessarily that skill very well developed. So sometimes people really lack being able to communicate themselves clearly. Maybe they, you know, are lacking that because they feel rejection. And rejection could be something that had happened earlier within the ancestry that comes down the line. And all of these experiences are a vibration. So, for example, if one of the ancestors, you know, a great-grandfather had a very traumatic wounding to him, he could carry that energy within his field. And if he didn't heal from that traumatic wounding, that energy lives within the energy field of the next generation. And so then his children will carry that. And then his children will carry that. And then his children will carry that. So that comes down the patrilineal line. And so we can say, okay, you know what? You know, even if it's we talk sometimes about the toxic masculine, where we had this, you know, from war and from PTSD, which we didn't even know which was happening at the time because we didn't have the psychology and all the information. But, you know, the trauma of experiencing war and not knowing how to cope with it and then bringing it home. And, you know, sometimes people fall into alcoholism, they fall into drugs, they fall into violence. And these are very common examples of family behaviors that can come down the family line, because when we're exposed to that within our environment, you know, and that's how we're raised, then it normalizes it, and people will continue to raise their children in a way. And of course, it changes over generations. The physical violence is not nearly as intense in this current generation as it was a few generations ago, right? Of course, we have laws and we have people that are there to protect child protective services and all of that kind of stuff that wasn't really part of our world, you know, a few generations ago, you know, 100 years ago, even. And so we can see through time that even just within a certain line of the ancestor, you know, lineage, we can see how these things also shape our mindset. How do we, you know, do we feel, you know, shame? Do we feel guilt? Do we feel like we're not doing it right because the family has instilled a certain way within us? So these are certain things that we can really address within our energy field. Also,
you know what I wanted to share with you? That what you said before, Andrea, and we have just about a minute left, but you call it karma when we're dealing with things from our past. For example, let's say, and I think you said, you know, I think it was anxiety or feeling that I'm not good enough or these things that we feel that have been put on us, or we put those things on ourselves. But it could it in fact be karma from another life that we're dealing with? Because that sounds like what you said.
I say absolutely. Mm. Yes. I say everything that we're living out in this life is an experience that we are drawn to, that we're actually drawing to us to work out these different parts and pieces that we've been carrying from other past lives. But, you know, and so ultimately the goal is to be free of it all, is to work out all of the inner turmoils so that we really do experience a life of beautiful freedom.
But I find it fascinating that you call it karma, which I never thought of it that way. I just thought it was, you know, call it baggage, call it something that was in your, something that was generational, that maybe, you know, years back, could be three generations back, they dealt with it. And maybe it could be insecurities, whatever it might be, fear of abandonment. And it just continued on to your life now, or maybe came from another life, but you call it, you put it on the umbrella of karma, which I find very interesting, but it does align and make perfect sense when you think about it, you know, in the terms of karma and the way you described it today.
Yes, and there's so much more. I mean, We're just scratching the surface of this. This is a wonderful in-depth conversation.
No, and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know what? When you say we're scratching the surface, I don't know if I'm excited or scared. I don't know where we're going to go next with that, but I do know that we're just about out of time. Your website up soon, but if somebody wants to reach out to you, it's dragonflypassages@gmail.com. dragonflypassages@gmail.com. Andrea, fascinating talking with you today. I don't know anybody on any podcast that's talked about karma, and it's been something that's been on my mind for a long time, and I'm glad we went down that road, and hopefully we'll pick it up again sometime soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.